Hey there, Internet. I'm Annie.
I'm Kit.
And this is the Gem Jam, where we do an episode-by-episode recap of the 1980s cartoon Gem and the Holograms, because it is truly outrageous, and it truly, truly doesn't pronounce Nolans right.
Mac is still not here.
No, I think she caught a glance of taking a train, and it just, oof.
It put her out of commission for another week.
In the meantime, I grabbed John again, so he's back with us for Mardi Gras. How's it going?
That's not what it says.
This is Jean Lacretz.
There you go. It's my Nolans name.
I'm going to try really hard to call it Nolans because New Orleans sounds really awful to me. Please forgive me. I was born in Southern Indiana, which is not actually the South.
Annie, does this make you a Yankee or how does that work?
Yes. Yes, it does. That is exactly how that works.
You know, you were born in Indiana too, right?
I got roots.
Just because your father's from Alabama. Anyway. This is Season 2, Episode 19, aka Episode 45, simply titled Mardi Gras. This is actually a little topical because Louisiana, and especially the New Orleans area, is under some of the worst flooding that they have seen in a long time right now. So if you enjoy this, I know this will come out, you know, a little later than a lot of the current news stuff because of how we record these things, but the Red Cross can always use some more donation and relief efforts for that. So, you know, do some research on some reputable places to donate and give what you can. That would be super.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Worse since Katrina, from what I understand.
This is our last episode by Mary Screenies. This is our send-off for her. She wrote The World Hunger Shindig, In Stitches, Island of Deception, and Scandal.
I get the feeling that Shayna is Mary Screenies' favorite character.
That's probably correct. Shall we sit down with her swan song?
It's not very good.
It's not great.
No. All right, here we go. Toot toot! All aboard the Exposition Express, coming down the river!
The holograms are all sitting at the same table. It's the sitcom setup of they're all on one side of the table and the camera's on the other. And they talk about how they were mysteriously chosen by a secret contact to visit New Orleans on Mardi Gras, like it's Willy Wonka's chocolate factory or something.
More like Willy Wonka's debauchery factory.
I'm not from the States. Is this the procedure? Are you only allowed to go to Mardi Gras if you're invited by a mysterious benefactor? Is it like Venice that way?
No.
Gem and the Holograms have been chosen to wear some jewels. They just call them Jean Lafitte's jewels without explaining what that is at first.
This is a real person. Jean Lafitte and his brother Pierre were French-American pirates turned privateers, eventually smugglers, who operated in the early 19th century out of the Gulf of Mexico, primarily in and around Nolens. He ended up working with Andrew Jackson during the War of 1812, and he was actually responsible for the success of the final battle in the war. He's sort of the idea of a Robin Hood kind of archetype of a noble brigand. There are rumors of him burying treasure, but no one has ever actually found anything. Anyway, these fake jewels haven't been seen since 1814, apparently.
They also start talking about the crew of Melodicus, and I have no idea what that is.
I think it's the name of the float, the parade float, but they never explain that.
Gem and the Holograms are like, oh, okay, cool, so how about we sing a song for you?
They're so excited to go to the Mardi Gras.
Let me take you to the Mardi Gras.
Fa la 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 la.
They rhymed Mardi Gras with la. They couldn't find anything else to rhyme with Mardi Gras.
Sometimes instead of fa-la-la, it's tra-la-la.
This song sounds like elevator music.
Is it just me, or did they reuse the melody to this? Because I swear we've heard it before in the show.
I don't think so. It might just be that hopelessly generic.
I mean, that's fair.
This is our first idea of the Mardi Gras imagery we're going to be dealing with, which is like, I feel really bad for the animator's toy here, because they would have so little context in the slightest for Mardi Gras? Here's what they use for Mardi Gras. Clowns, harlequins, hot dogs, hula dancers?
Those exist.
I think there's a Spanish dancer at some point.
Rio and Jem both turn into flamenco dancers at one point, which is not Mardi Gras. It comes out of a French tradition.
I mean, at least Rio is only there and we don't see him for the rest of the episode.
Now, that's true. He's not here at all. That's a nice change from last week.
No, we just have another insufferable male character we have to deal with. So the song wraps up.
Aja, Shayna, and Kimber, and I think Rhea too, are dancing with a couple of dudes who look like they got up from a Civil War reenactment and plowed straight through a steampunk convention on their way to the riverboat. Meanwhile, Jem is approached by a dweeb cosplaying as a pirate.
I'm pretty sure that's not what a Louisiana French accent sounds like.
Not quite Gambit.
I'm pretty sure Gambit's not what a Louisiana French accent sounds like.
Yes, but that's what we're trained to think it sounds like due to the X-Men cartoon.
Speaking of which, this is Pierre Laquette. He is apparently their liaison and their secret contact. And I am pretty freaking sure that this guy studied exclusively at the Gambit School of Romance. So I pretty much just drop Pierre Laquette in my notes almost immediately and just start calling him Scumbag Gambit the whole time.
I feel like the phrase Scumbag Gambit is redundant. And the jewels must be handled very carefully and blah, blah, blah. He wants to go to L'Ange.
So Jem is like, all right, well, that's all good. Sure, I'll meet you for L'Ange. But in the meantime, where are we sleeping tonight? Do we have a bed or a roof?
And Gambit teases her for, like, being so detail-oriented. And it's like, okay, but that's a pretty big detail.
He eventually relents and tells them that they're staying at Maison Fleur. I'm pretty sure that's just, Fleur is just flower, so...
Yeah, it's just Flower Mansion.
Later that evening on the riverboat, Shane is just hanging out when she gets grabbed by an old biddy who's like, Lily, you have returned!
Beware of zombies on Fat Tuesday!
And Shane is like, what's Fat Tuesday?
Mardi Gras. You learn this in like third grade.
That is literally what Mardi Gras means.
Yeah, it's because you eat the rest of your fat because you're not allowed to eat any more meat or animal byproducts because Lent starts tomorrow.
This old lady shows up like twice more, and I guess she's just supposed to be some sort of voodoo witch archetype. But she just sort of wanders off afterwards after calling her Lily, and in walks Gambit, who's like, don't be frightened, Cher. Why don't you let me kiss you?
Let me touch you.
He starts putting the moves on her, and she's like, I have a boyfriend.
I got this heart locket just for this episode, gosh darn it, and I'm gonna show it off.
It holds a photo, a really bad photo, of Anthony Julian.
3/4, no facial expression.
Dating Anthony Julian, here's a little picture. We have the most stable relationship in the show.
So much so that I almost never have to talk about him. We have so little relationship drama that we haven't seen him in 20 episodes.
They catch up on the phone.
And after that very clear and firm no thank you, he's like, well, why don't I just try harder? Finally, the riverboat arrives in Nolans. Shayna bids Scumbag Gambit adieu, and they go off on what Kimber identifies as a hansom cab.
I'm pretty sure that's not what a hansom cab looks like.
Yeah, this is like a horse and buggy.
In comes a voice actor who was probably asked to do Louisiana Southern, and the best he could get was guy from upstate New York who once watched an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies. Ladies, I'll be taking you to Maison Fleur, but first, how about a little scenic detour of Bourbon Street?
They just like pre-googled Louisiana and Nolans and just like, let's see what things I could mention.
As they're going down Bourbon Street, the camera pans over to like, I'm not sure if it's a hotel or a bar or what's going on there, but they've got a sign up that says, now appearing, the Zomboys ".
This is apparently a band called the Zomboys, I guess. There's like 5 of them, maybe?
We see one, then another, and then later on the episode, like 6 more show up out of nowhere.
I'd like to think these guys are like the Limp Lizards Misfits. The Zomboys and the Limp Lizards just like have adventures together.
The Misfits are on the balcony of this bar, I guess, watching the cab go by, and they say, oh, Jem and the Holograms are here. They start talking about them doing the publicity event of the century.
How many publicity events of the century have we had in the past 5 episodes?
Too many. So Pizzazz decides that she's going to be the one wearing those jewels and motions over a Rob Zombie fanboy?
His name is Neko, which is not spelled like the cat.
Neon. I'm doing the paw at hands.
I can hear it. He spends this whole episode being like, oh, Pizzazz, command me. Yeah, tell me what to do, mistress.
Command me, mistress, command me.
I did not consent to being part of this scene, thank you.
And then we get to the Flower Mansion.
Maison Fleur.
Yeah, luckily we don't see that guy again.
Yeah, he's gone. Bye forever.
And the lights are all off. Is nobody home? And they're like, oh, they probably just blew a fuse again. So that's a good sign. This is where we're sleeping tonight.
So they're greeted by a butler named Maurice, who looks at Shane and he's like, you! And then from inside the mansion comes the voice of what is definitely the Countess de Voussant, who we haven't seen since 1.
What happened to her? Did she just disappear?
She's now an adorable little old biddy that reminds me of my southern grandma. She's nice. She's the best character in this whole episode.
This is Yvette. She owns the Maison Fleur. She is the one who invited them to come. She chose Shayna, as well as the rest of the holograms, to wear the jewels, and she is about to explain why. But before that, she's like, oh, don't worry about Maurice. He's been cranky since his dear friend Francois disappeared last week.
Put that in your cap for later, folks.
So the lady tells them about Lily La Rose, her great-great-grandmother. And she's completely made up. Jean Lafitte was apparently in love with Lily Rose, this fake character. But she was like, heck no, because, you know, Jean Lafitte did that thing where he traded slaves, which was a bit of a deal breaker.
Especially when you're a black lady in 1814.
Lily La Rose apparently was a patriot, though, and she let Andrew Jackson and Jean Lafitte meet on her grounds to plan the Battle of New Orleans. In the family cemetery, in fact. Yvette just kind of leaves that lying after they came in the middle of the night up from the cemetery and then just moves on without finishing that part of the story, which seems like you're kind of cutting out the important part.
This is a children's show.
Right. So instead, we're going to gloss over the fact that she was like, no, I'm not going to be in love with you because you trade slaves and I'm a black woman in 19th century America. This is a problem. Instead, he just threw jewelry at her and said, promise to keep these until I return. But he never returned.
Probably because, historically speaking, he reportedly got married. And also, the rumor has it that he rescued Napoleon from exile and they both died in Louisiana.
I hope that's true. That just sounds like fun.
I want that buddy road trip movie. So it turns out Shayna is the spitting image of Lily La Rose, right down to the improbably purple hair. And apparently Jean Lafitte was so bad at being told no that even in the afterlife, he continues to creep around Lily's house and guard her stuff. Also, he had a monkey.
A minky.
He was a pirate. He didn't need a license.
It's there on his portrait because he's got two great big portraits upstairs.
Anyway, says Yvette, let's go to bed.
There's only one other guest at the hotel, so you can all have your own rooms.
Shayna will have Lily's chamber. And Shayna gives the appropriate response, which is thanks, I think.
You look just like this dead woman. Sleep in a room. Nothing bad will ever happen.
This isn't weird at all. And then as Shayna is sleeping, a mysterious hand appears out of the darkness, steals Shayna's boyfriend locket, and then she bolts upright in bed and screams, and memento mori, Shayna's been murdered in the night.
This hand, like, strangely floats away.
Even when we find out what's going on at the end of the episode, it still doesn't account for a lot of this. So Shayna runs out of the bedroom, snatches a match and a candle, and just holds the bare candle in her hand, clutches it there, waves the candle around so that wax just splashes around everywhere.
I was afraid for her hair in a lot of these scenes.
It's okay, it's not like wax is hot or anything.
She runs around just trying to figure out where everybody is because she's scared. And then heads downstairs and runs into Scumbag Gambit, who's just skulking around in the shadows. You know, like a regular non-creepy dude does.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'm sure everyone's okay. Your locket will turn up. You're so beautiful.
Read the room, dude.
He read the game front and back like 3 times. This works. He knows it. He's gonna keep using it till it does.
And the kitchen door opens and the holograms emerge with Yvette because I guess they all had a nice cup of chamomile tea.
The sleepiest teas, yes.
And Yvette greets Gambit. Apparently he just let himself in from the terrace because nobody answered the door like a regular non-creepy dude does. He doesn't even let doors say no.
Pierre's the worst.
Shayna's like, something was in my room. It stole my locket. And Gambit immediately starts gaslighting her. Like, you must have been dreaming. It's fine. And Shayna's like, don't patronize me. Don't call me Cher.
And Pierre's like, what a woman. Oh, God, I hate this guy.
So the next day, the electricity's getting repaired. The electrician tells Yvette to not plug in anything on the second floor.
See, it's foreshadowing. It's a good episode.
I had to watch it 3 times to catch that line. The holograms are going to go sightseeing. And as they leave, the artist apparently forgot to color in Rhea, so for the entire shot as the holograms leave, she's clear from the neck down, aside from her outline.
Look, there's a lot of moving parts in a cartoon. It's hard to keep track of all of them.
Meanwhile, they arrive at a location and Jem gets off for lunch.
Lunch!
And she's like, hey, Shayna, do you want to come with? And Shayna's like, no!
And would you please stop encouraging that guy?
And then Jem spends the entire lunch encouraging Pierre. She's like, oh, Pierre, you're such a charmer. Oh, Pierre, you're so sexually aggressive. Oh, Pierre, she already clearly and firmly said no and that she's seeing somebody. It's so cute how you pursue her without her encouragement or consent.
At one point, Pierre's like, oh, Shayna's still angry. She must like me. Screw you, Pierre.
And Jem's like, teehee, Pierre, it's so cute how you're harassing my friend. Ugh, Jem, you are not helping.
Stop enabling this, Jem.
Does he actually add anything in this scene? Do we get any new information?
He does say that there are gowns that are going to be delivered to Maison Fleur, that the jewels will come with a vet to the parade, and hopefully they'll be safe. And then we find out that a zomboy is just watching them eat lunch in the middle of this, like, business casual cafe, and he doesn't stick out at all.
So meanwhile, the rest of the holograms are still on the trolley.
For now.
Shane is like, hey, look, there's that old woman from the train who called me Lily the Rose. And Kimber has the nerve to call her a real character after looking past the 6 different straight-faced dudes in carnival masks to see the old woman wearing a kerchief and a shawl.
To be fair, that would make her the one that sticks out right now.
And then the misfits board the trolley, declaring that they need to meet Neko.
Surprise. Surprise.
This is a great music video, because it's not a music video. It doesn't take place in mystical dreamland at all. It takes place in real world. They do this for legitsies.
Yeah, that's Pizzazz diegetically sexually harassing a trolley driver.
He looks very upset at the end.
He looks upset during the whole thing. He desperately wants her off his lap.
She's also playing with his stick all over the place. It's really bad.
I'm pretty sure that touching a bus driver is a federal offense. BT Dub, surprise, surprise, is an old song. It previously appeared in the episode Culture Clash.
Last time, a snake turned into a hose. In this one, Pizzazz fights an old lady for a bag of costume stuff just so she can pour it all over the holograms.
And after singing their song, they just kind of get off the bus. Goodbye.
Thanks for adding to the tension.
And Pizzazz goes up to meet with Neko and like one other zomboy and tells them to just get rid of Jem and the holograms, ensuring that there will be an attempted murder.
Mama Lou also shows up again, the old lady that may be some kind of voodoo witch. She just butts into the frame and be like, beware, the ghost of Jean Lafitte will protect what is his, and then leaves.
And then the other zomboy who's not Neko is like, that's Mama Lou, she knows stuff, she's got a bad rep. And he gets like slapped across the face by Neko and told to, quote, be a zomboy.
And then Neko immediately turns to Pizzazz and is like, what shall I do for you, my mistress? It's like, yeah, man up, be a simpering supplicant.
I have no idea what's going on with this guy psychosexually, but I don't like it.
He's very odd. He's a very odd person.
So Jem, I guess, split a cab with scumbag Gambit to get back to Maison Fleur. And he's like, hey, Shayna should dance with me, right? And Jem's like, ha, why don't you further harass my friend who's clearly shut you down several times? So Jem heads in. We also see there's a quick shot of a mysterious hand parting the curtains, and then it's gone in the very next shot, and there's not clear how they could have not seen it considering the window is right there, but, you know, don't worry about it, it's fine. So Yvette comes in to greet Jem. Jem's like, so why are you letting these treasures out? And Yvette mentions briefly that she needs the publicity so people will come to her hotel, where the power is constantly out and there's ghosts.
You think that would bring a certain type of clientele in?
So Yvette is just like, well, that sentence is over. I'm off to have a nap because we're going to a party tonight.
I do love how it sounds like she has scheduled nap time for herself.
She's an old lady, okay? She definitely has scheduled nap time. My dad has scheduled nap time.
I want that life.
Maurice, clear my schedule. It's time for a nap.
So Jem heads off to try out their costume. She's got like this big like fish dress. And while she's admiring herself, she backs up into a bookcase, hits a big switch with her elbow, and boom, secret passage.
And there's red eyes in the dark, memento mori.
Yeah, Jem's about to be eaten by a monster, apparently.
It looks like a werewolf, honestly.
And those are definitely, like, person-sized eyes, and, like, that hand is huge and bigger than Jem's arm. Stick that in your pocket. So, instead of being eaten by a monster, Jem actually does what I think is one of the more clever uses of the earrings and hologram tech. She just has Synergy to help her create a glittery pink flashlight.
She takes off an earring and there's just a big beam of light projected from the earring, illuminating the room.
And while she shines the light around, something screams and runs off, and Jem is just like, oh, okay, whatever, and then just starts wandering around.
That seems perfectly normal. I hope this leads outside.
Later on, the rest of the holograms come back to the hotel. They're trying on their costumes. Everybody's got a mask except for Shayna.
Because she has to look like Lily LaRose.
I guess.
She's got this cool dragonfly in her hair, though.
Yeah, I do like these costumes. They're weird, but in a fun way.
Kimber's got this really great, like, moth dress that I love. Kimber inquires after Jem and Yvette, and Maurice is like, well, Yvette left an hour ago. Jem was probably with her. Also, your limousine is here. And Maurice is a jerk because he saw that car pull up and he knows very well that it's not a limousine.
No, that's a hearse.
Driven by a zombie. So yeah, the holograms climb into a hearse driven by a zombie. They don't think this is weird.
Shayna has a little flashback to Beware of Zombies on Fat Tuesday and is like, whatever, this is fine.
And remember, they're not in costume.
Yeah, they're like, wow, you're really committed to this bit. Nice costume. And the zomboy's like, I'm not wearing a costume.
You are, dude. You are. You don't actually look like that, dude. Meanwhile, Jem is still wandering around the walls of the hotel. And it turns out that the painting of Jean Lafitte has eye holes that she can look out of.
And when she does so, she sees Gambit and Maurice talking about how they don't think the girls suspect a thing and that the jewels will not escape us.
And Jem immediately goes, oh, they must be jewel thieves.
Which is a pretty logical conclusion.
I mean, for all the stuff that happens to Jem on a regular basis, jewel thieves are not too out of the ordinary. I mean, she already dealt with jewel thieves back in Culture Clash. I have to get to the diamonds before the police.
They were in robots.
So it turns out the hearse isn't going to Canal Street like they thought. The zombie rolls into a cemetery and parks, and he's like, you'll sit here and be quiet.
And then the holograms are like, yeah, sure, we'll sit here and be quiet. And then immediately break out of the car. Like, the guy didn't even lock the doors.
They're not the best mooks in Jim and the holograms we've seen. Zipper was more efficient. He burnt down a house and put somebody in a volcano. The zomboys can't put on the child safety lock in their hearse.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm delighted by the idea of a hearse that would have child safety locks on the back door, where the coffin goes. While they're trying to escape, they take a right into the cemetery, and there's just, I guess, like four zomboys hanging out behind four specific coffins just waiting for them.
You're not going to leave.
Kimber shrieks. She is bottom of this entirely.
Look, if someone jumps out at me from behind a coffin in a graveyard, I don't care whether they're really a zombie or just some dude in a costume.
Fair enough. Back at the parade, Yvette's in a very cute dress, and the holograms are nowhere to be found.
The king of town is there, too. This is a real thing. There is a king of Mardi Gras, so I mean, that one's fair.
What's not fair is that Pizzazz and the Misfits are somehow walking across the crowd's faces. How did they even get up there?
That's great. I love it.
So they just sort of climb onto the stage and they're like, Jem and the holograms never make a commitment, but we're here. We'll wear the jewels. And then the Burger King saunters on and he's like, yeah, just let them wear it. Get on with it.
And it turns out the jewels are really tacky costume jewelry.
They're the gaudiest things in the world. They're so bad.
They are the worst. They are not period accurate.
Do you think they sold these as toys or something? And maybe that's why?
Maybe that's why they haven't been seen since 1814. No museum wants them.
Meanwhile, Jem finds a secret door out to the graveyard, and when she cracks it open, she sees that the zomboys have got the holograms just kind of surrounded and sitting on some coffins. That's right, the zomboys drove the holograms around the corner and said, you're gonna sit here and be quiet.
It's the exact same cemetery!
They took them to the hotel's backyard!
No one will find them there. It'd be the last place they would look.
Yeah, and one of the zomboys is still really freaked out about ghosts. And what Mama Lou said.
A 12-foot-tall pirate emerges from the river covered in seaweed and God knows what else, starts screaming about threatening Lily.
And he sounds like Foghorn Leghorn.
The zomboys run off, and Lafitte, like, tips his hat to the holograms and disappears into pink sparkles because, yep, Synergy is horrifying.
And Kimber's like, Jem, it was you and Synergy! Did Kimber just buy into this?
Kimber thought that was a real ghost.
Jem explains about the whole jewel thief plot that is apparently also the plot of this episode, along with four other plots. And then they all head off to the mansion, which is, you know, right next door.
They just walk home.
Through the front door, and Maurice is like, oh my gosh, you're safe, thank goodness. And Kimber just sort of jabs her finger in his chest and said, you're such a phony, Maurice. Yvette greets the holograms and is like, oh my gosh, where were you? Wait, that doesn't matter. You need to get on stage, quote, before those dreadful creatures are asked to sing. Jem
hops on the stage and it's like, this is Fat Tuesday, the last night of Mardi Gras. Tonight anything might happen. Anything might be hidden behind the masks that surround you.
Music video.
Here's a little section of the lyrics here. The lyrics that Kimber wrote for this song. Everybody wears a mask. Isn't it bizarre? Everybody wears a mask to hide who they are.
Kimber, is that the best you could do?
This sounds like something I wrote in the margins of my middle grade notebook.
Nobody understands me. There's a point where Jem pulls a whole bunch of masks off of a guy, and the last one is like, it's definitely a Red Hood, but it could be Player 2 Cobra Commander. Anyway, that's it. One song. That's the concert. Bye, everybody.
And then the Misfits are doing a photo shoot on the second floor.
It's very important that they're up on the second floor.
And guess what somebody does with a floodlight?
They plug it in.
Hooray! Kaboom!
Yeah, that just trips the whole thing. And in the chaos, in the darkness, in comes a shockingly well-animated monkey who steals the jewels. I mean, we technically don't find out it's a monkey until a second later, but that's clearly a monkey in these shots.
And when the lights come back on, Jem immediately accuses Pierre of stealing the jewels, and Pierre's like, I'm not a jewel thief, I'm a detective for Melodicus. I still don't know what Melodicus is!
And if Melodicus is the float, why does a float need a detective? It doesn't make any sense!
And then he accuses the Misfits of kidnapping the holograms and stealing the jewels. And the Misfits are like, we didn't steal the jewels! They don't say anything about the first one. It was a ghost!
They had clammy fingers.
And Yvette's like, alright, no, look. Maurice, tell them who the thief is.
They open the picture of Jean Lafitte.
Which means that Jem could have gotten out at any time, since that painting swings open. And when we open, it turns out all of the missing jewelry is right there, including Shayna's necklace.
And the monkey was just carrying it around.
It turns out this is Francois, Maurice's friend who went missing a week ago. He's just been hanging out in the walls.
Francois is also the last surviving ancestor of Lafitte's monkey. That's backwards. That's not what ancestor means. Or that's a really old monkey.
Pizzazz, meanwhile, is ready to completely strangle a monkey. And you think that was a raunchy metaphor, but no, she wants to kill a primate. And then Yvette just, like, slaps her hand away.
Hey, stop it! It's our monkey!
I guess it was a monkey the whole time. The monkey was at Jem's eye level and reached out to her with an arm that was bigger around than Jem's waistline. Yeah, okay.
It was a monkey that was gonna strangle Shayna in the middle of the night.
So, in summary, nobody was going to steal the jewels. This episode has no plot.
Yeah, basically.
Jem's like, oh, sorry, Gambit. I thought you were a jewel thief. And he's like, cat, whatevs, no big. Shayna! Hey, baby!
How creep to creep you?
If I was a thief, I would steal your heart from Julian, my cher. And then he kisses her on the lips!
Freaking Gambit over here.
Kimber's like, okay, but is there like a real spirit? Because I was pretty sure for like a couple of times there that there was like a ghost or... And Yvette says, oh, but of course, it is the spirit of unrequited love.
And then the ghosts come out of the paintings and kiss each other. That's not what unrequited means.
Oh, man. This is not a good episode.
It's like a script written with magnetic poetry that they bought in New Orleans.
It just sort of goes and then stops. John, thanks for pinch hitting for us again.
Oh, always. Oh, hold on, you got my name wrong again.
Sean LaCrate.
Yeah, there you go.
Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on my Twitter, at Koitenbatsu. That's KOITENBATSU. You can also listen to me talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure with my brother on the podcast Aniki. Find that online at Aniki Podcast on Twitter as well.
Join us next time as we get into the middle of nowhere, aka the Alaska episode. The Gem Jam comes out every Sunday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. If you like what we do and you want to support us, a like, a rating, a review, anywhere you find our podcast is super helpful, especially on iTunes. Those really help our metrics, help us get discovered. If you have a couple of bucks sitting around, you can kick those our way at patreon.com/thegemjam. So until next time, dear listeners, I'm Annie.
I'm Kit.
I'm Jean LaCrate.
And this has been the Gem Jam, where we'll remind you, it not you, it outrageous.